kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory,
now the weight of your glory pour. Father, we're grateful. We don't take your presence for granted. We thank you for honoring us. Thank you for honoring our fathers. We come under their covering and of the Lordship of Jesus. As we come to pray this afternoon, going into your word, Father, I need your help. And so I ask you for fresh mercy from your throne. Mercy to enable me, Lord, to speak as an oracle of God. Unction from your throne, so that I will not speak my own words, but I will speak, Lord, as an oracle of God. Let your word come forth out of me in purity, in clarity, in power, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work in our hearts, in our lives, enabling us to be more like Jesus, our wills more submitted to yours, our minds further illuminated with light that comes from the Holy Spirit, our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruits of the Spirit, so we will not be the same again, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for tearing every veil, Lord, of the sensual over us, so that we will see you, Lord, even as you really are. Help us, Lord, so that, Lord, in this time, Lord God, you help me to redeem the time. Not say unnecessary things, but, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, to bring forth in purity things both new and old from the treasure of your word. Let your name be glorified and let your will be done in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank God for our fathers under whose covering we stand. God has put in my heart this afternoon is entitled Light on Your Candlestick. Light on Your Candlestick. Now, God is light. The Bible says so in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. He is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He's not just talking about illumination. He's talking about the fact that there is a power behind the light. In natural science, Pastor has taught us this many times, he's preached, so you can't but remember some things that he says. You know, the sun is 93 million miles away. They call it aeronautical mile. So it's 93 million miles away. Yet the temperature on that sun is 15 million degrees. 15 million degrees Celsius. And that sun came out of God. So when the Bible says God is light, he's trying to describe an effulgence of the power and the light of God that cannot be held back. It's the same light that blasted through to hell and was injected in the Lord Jesus Christ, and right there in hell he spoiled principalities and powers and rose up triumphant and victorious. It's that same light, and we are children of light. Even though in Psalm 51 verse 5, the Bible says we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we are born in darkness. But as you understand, as we go on, God is not content. Light cannot abide alone just to be enclosed. It keeps spreading. It keeps breaking forth. It keeps spreading out. It has to impact its environment. It has to change what is around it to conform to its own standard. It's not, you know, you can't have light and have it quietly. It is bright, it is powerful, it is unending in its quality. That's God. And we are children of light. And so God has ordained that even though we're born in darkness, he's going to give us his light. We're going to dwell in light. And then over time, we ourselves will become light and have no darkness at all. The same way God is. That's the will of God. Amen? For our lives. All right? And ultimately, like Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We will now become the light of the world. Everywhere we go, we will change what is there to conform to the standard of the light. Just like God did in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then in verse 2, we see something totally different. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But God was not going to leave it like that, because He's light. He's light. He invades darkness. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And we know, next verse. And God said, let's say it again. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. So God spoke it, and it came to be. So light is who God is. And you know, in John 8:12, you know, Jesus said, you know, I am the light of the world. Okay, let's look at that. Okay, right. He said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. How many people are following Jesus here? Let me see your hand. All right. This is talking about you and I. Shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of. So the parent substance is life. Is the nature of God. The light is a derivative of that life. But it flows out in power to impact, sustain, and conform all things according to God's plan and design. God could not look at this thing being without form and void. So He released that light. And the light recreated and brought it closer to the design and the plan that was in God's heart. And the same way God impacts and influences creation is the same way we also, as we share that light, we also are supposed to impact our own souls, impact our bodies, impact our families, impact our nation. That's the will of God for us, by the power of that light. If you look at Matthew chapter 17 in verse 2, we see Jesus on earth. Give me verse 1. Thank you. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Mountain in the Bible speaks of a place of prayer. Next verse. And was what? Transfigured. So Jesus removed the covering of that light. And his face did shine as what? The sun. That's the only thing you could compare it with. It's brighter than that. And his raiment was white as the light. Next verse. And behold. Okay, so he came out like that, bright, you know, and we see the same way Son of God had that light in him. We also should have that light in us, shining, you know, and affecting and impacting our environment. Now, of course, we know in John chapter 1, in verse 9, we know that the Bible says that Jesus is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. So when we are born of our natural parents, amen, okay, we have light. We have that light in our spirits, but because of the same nature that's in the flesh, in the soul, and in the body, when we get to the age of accountability, that light is removed. We sin, and the light goes out. The same way when Adam sinned, the light went out. They lost the light of that glory. But God is about to restore that glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that happening. So there is now a need for us to get born again. God is still not content to leave you and I the way we were. Even though we've lost that light when we get to the age of accountability, God comes back again and keeps drawing us, keeps talking to us, keeps drawing us until we align our will with His will and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Then we receive that light again. That's why we call it born again. And now with that light in our spirits, God now wants to invade. He wants it to flow into your soul, my soul, our body, so that, you know, we now become entirely light, having no part dark. Amen. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the light. It's that light that goes in. The light there refers to the wisdom of God. It is backed by the power of God. So you're talking about the light of God's love, really. The light of His love. Okay, but in essence, we're talking about the nature of God. Okay, which is life, and the wisdom and power that comes from that nature. All right, so that's the will of God. So God wants that light to be in us. So we begin to see in our souls the way He sees. Mom gave us a word at the beginning of the year that we need to be careful about what we see, because what we see will affect what we receive. So we have to make sure that light is flowing in our soul so we can see what God is seeing. Amen. And respond the way God would respond. That's the will of God. John chapter 1 verse 12, quickly. The Bible talks here, it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He what? Power. He's calling it power here. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So there's a force behind that nature. Amen. All right. So that is very important. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, it talks about that the taking heed to the word, you know, as a light that shines in a dark place. So that light is supposed to be in our soul, and is dispelling darkness, is recreating your soul, is sustaining you in righteousness, is impacting every the way you think, the way you feel, is changing everything to conform it to the way God is. Is an active thing. It's going on all the time, if you allow it, because we have a part to play. Amen. So this is who we are. We are children of light, and as we receive God's light, we allow it to transform, and then we ourselves now become transformers, active transformers of our environment. Amen. And when we are around, there are certain things that cannot happen because of the light that is coming out of us. That's the will of God. Amen. And that's what God is doing. All right. So now we see that God's word contains that light. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Let's read it together. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that light is really in the word. Okay. That's how God gives us light, is through the word. Okay. And then it's the means by which light is now released. So anytime we believe God's word, light, Bible says the entrance of His word giveth light. Okay. So anytime we believe the word, light comes in. Okay. That's how we got born again, and that's how we keep growing. Okay. And thereby, you know, God begins to impact. I want you to see, look at Apostle Paul, what God told Apostle Paul. Acts 26, verse 16 to 18. Light in your candlestick. But rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So you can only witness and minister what you see. So it's important to see. Next verse. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. God delivered him from them in order to send him back, but equipping him to do this. Next verse. To open their eyes and to turn them from what? This is God's plan for every man. From what? Darkness to what? And from the power of Satan unto, that they may receive forgiveness of sins
and ultimately an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Talks about the beginning and talks about the very end. That's God's plan. Okay, so we see it there. Look at Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Give that to me in the Amplified. We see this plan. You can see, you know, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Right, look at it. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, where? In the light. The inheritance is in the light. Amen. So we see that this is how God is. And the light shines in our minds through the Holy Spirit. And it's very important. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. And let's see how this happens. Now, this is how the light shines from God to us. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts so as to what? Beam forth. It's a beam. Beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God, as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the light. The beam comes into our heart. We call it revelation knowledge. Amen. Knowledge that comes directly from the Holy Spirit into our spirits. No, but it depends on the inclination of our wills. In the inclination of our wills in our soul is very important. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 36. Luke 11. Give me from verse 33. Verse 33. No man, let's read together. No man, when he had lighted a candle, put it where? In a secret place. Neither under a bushel, but where? On a candlestick. That's where you got light on your candlestick. But on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Our light should not be hidden by your flesh. Not by my flesh. Our light should not be in the spirit, in a secret place. It should be flowing in the soul and from the soul into the body on the candlestick. Okay? Next verse. Verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. Now it's giving us spiritual anatomy and showing us that this is how things are. The light of the body, the amount of light in your body is dependent on the eye. The eye there being the mind, being the soul, really. The soul. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. So we see a gate. There is a gate that in the soul that can shut out light or allow light. This is the gate, and that gate is the will. He's talking about when your will is aligned with the will of God. When it's aligned, then you and God are one. That will is single, then light flows. And he's saying that when it's not so, that then there is disconnection, even though there's light in the spirit. Next verse. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Now our light will not be darkness in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's a very, very sober warning that we need to take heed so that the light in us will really be flowing from the spirit into the soul. And it's telling us in the next verse that if we allow that to continue, something will happen. Look at the next verse. It says, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, because your will and God's will are aligned consistently. That's our responsibility. We align it consistently with God. Then he's saying that the whole body therefore be full of light, having no part. It means that you can flush out all the darkness. It can be flushed out. Amen. It's not, the scripture cannot be broken. He says that the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shine of a candle doth give thee
light. Jesus demonstrated it. And so are we in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Okay? So we see that true light in us, we must allow that true light. Bible calls it the true light is the wisdom of God, and the power of God through the word must keep shining. I can't afford to walk in darkness. We can't afford to look at situations purely on face value. We must go into this sanctuary and understand how God sees every situation. How God sees, before we talk, before we do anything, we are not moved by what we see. We are moved by what God says from the light of the word through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we hold fast and declare that and enforce that. Amen. It's very important, because that's where God is able to change. You know, for example, you know the story of Elisha and the Syrian army. And they came out very early at dawn, and they surrounded him round about. But Elisha had light. He had light. He saw. So he was very calm. But the young man with him did not have that light, because he was still growing. So the key here is to have light. So Elisha knew exactly what to do, because there was light. This day, there's an Elisha company in the land. Amen. There's an Elisha company that has the light. Amen. And they're leading us into the victory. I mean, by the time they won, they didn't win by weapons of war. They won by the weapon of divine love. They showed those soldiers love. And the Bible says they never came back again. It's the same way. God is giving us complete and total victory in our land by the power of divine love. Amen? Alright. Okay, so we see that. Now, why is this important? It's important because the devil also has a false light. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 says that we need to be careful that Satan himself can transform to become an angel of light. So not all light is light. So we need to tell the difference between God's kind of light, which is wisdom, and Satan's false replica, look-alike of that light, which is knowledge, sensual knowledge. Satan's own puffs you up. The excellency of God's wisdom, give that to me in second. In the Song of Solomon, the excellence of the Ecclesiastes, I believe, the excellency of God's wisdom is that it gives life. When God gives you wisdom, it brings more humility, because the power and the nature of God is backing it. So the end of God's wisdom is humility. The end of Satan's own, because of his nature, is pride. So they're not the same. It's not the same. Amen. So we can fall prey to this when our body is full of darkness, when our will is evil. Then we can unknowingly, it's not intentional, we can unknowingly yield our will, and we don't know that we are speaking from, we're not speaking from God, we're speaking from the devil. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. And this is why, you know, it's very important for us to be careful. The Bible says all such wisdom is earthly, sensual, devilish. There is a wisdom that is like that, but it's not the wisdom of God. Amen? But God wants us to be aware so that we accept God's word and we embrace instruction. When you embrace instruction and you accept God's word, then you'll be very, in fact, you cannot stray. It's the people that reject instruction and refuse the word that are now prey to that knowledge. That kind of knowledge. Okay? Look at Proverbs chapter 4 verse 13. It says, take fast hold. Give it to me in the Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. Take firm hold of what? Instruction. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is thy life. With her comes life, and with that life comes light. Amen. Amen. So there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, the key here is that we follow the path of instruction. You embrace instruction. The Bible says that you love her. No, you embrace her, because she will deliver to you a crown of glory. Is that you know you are proactive when it comes to instruction. That's the will of God for us. No, and anytime we're not, then we sort of opening the door. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Okay, but it's important. Genesis 3, 5. This is the lie Satan. No, Satan is the father of lies. He told Eve, he asked that question. He said, did God say you should not eat? And he said, God said we should not eat and we should not touch. God didn't say we should not touch. He said, those two trees, God said we should not eat, we should not touch. So he lied to her. He said, for God doth know that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, her eyes were already open. Her eyes were already open. But she didn't know that her eyes are open. So she believed him. And then she now, so the Bible says that she was now motivated by three things. Verse 6. And this is very important because this is where this thing is. It's the motive of the heart. You know, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Why did she do it? Because she was looking, the Bible talks about good for food, lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, a tree to desire to make one wise, pride of life. Anytime you are motivated, or we are motivated by the desire for self-recognition or self-gratification, command these stones to become bread. Use it for yourself. Self-gratification, self-recognition, so that they will know that it is me or it is us that are there. Or reputation, pride. Anytime, it is then that one can be deceived by that light, the false light that Satan brings. So we walk away from that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very important, okay? And what should our motivation be? John 5:30. This should be our motivation. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. This is very important. Let's read it together, brethren. Say, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So this is a desire to please God. It's a desire to do the will of the Father. It's different. So it's not self-centered. It's not need-oriented. Okay, it's not desire to attract attention to yourself. It is desire to please the Father. That is what this is about. Amen. And that is when God now uses you as a conduit pipe to showcase that light. And that will be our portion. God will showcase his light through us in Jesus' name. There's glorious light within. Okay? And that light is supposed to flow. But if you like Eve, make that mistake, then with what happened to them is very instructive. Look at what happened. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 7. This will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Alright? Bible says, and the eyes of them both were open. So it was open from a higher level of power to a lower level of power. They lost something that was far more precious than they ever imagined. Brethren, anytime you know you insist on your own will, you're losing something. That light that is supposed to be flowing from God into your soul, that power that is supposed to dispel darkness. Forget about what it is, whatever it is on the inside, on the outside, money or opportunity or job or whatever it is, God is saying, don't do that and you're doing it, or do that and you don't want to do it. Whichever way it is, what you're doing is that you are not allowing that light to travel into your soul and save that soul and save the body. That's what God is saying. So it's not so much as nothing happened, Okay, I'm sorry. Nothing happened. It's not happened. You need to understand. That's why, I believe that's why God is giving us this message. Look at verse 23 and 24. So you see, their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves. Therefore, the Lord God did what? Sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. The ground that was supposed to be producing for him, he was now serving. He was now tilling the ground. That was supposed to be producing on his own for him. That was not the original design. Next, verse 24. So he drove the man out. He drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, because he didn't want man to be fixed in that state. No, but the point here is this, that when in this state, God excluded, God cannot use you for his plan. You can't contribute positively to God's plan because you don't have the same light flowing in you. That light is intrinsic. This is the true light. So it's very important to be submissive. It's very important to be obedient. That's the key. Okay? This second thing that is important to bring out here is that we are now in a season where there's a bountiful supply of oil. Amen? Oil here being a type of the light and the power of the Holy Spirit from mature spiritual fathers. Look at Zechariah chapter 3. Chapter 4. Thank you. Verse 3. Right. Thank you. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof. Next verse. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me. Zechariah was curious, saying, what are these, my Lord? The olive trees. Next verse. And the angel talked with me, answered and said, don't you know what these, knowest not thou what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. And then it's as if he goes to something else. And he says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Next verse. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt what? Become a plain, and shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. What's God saying here? God is saying that Zerubbabel is going to prevail. Let's read it on. Let's read it on. Next verse. So you can. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, next verse. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Next verse. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Next verse. Then answered I, and I said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? Next verse. And I answered again and said unto him, what? He's asked this question three times. Three times. And the angel is like, leave it. Because they are precious to God. Precious. Okay, and as I answer, what be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Next verse. And he answered me and said, knowest not thou what these be? As if he didn't ask. That's why he was asking before. The God can be. And I said, no, my Lord. We are accepting honest. I don't know. Next verse. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. What is God saying here? God is saying that Zerubbabel is a man like you and I, under covering of two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. These are people that stand in God's presence. If we go to verse 2, you see that they stand in God's presence and God releases the oil into them, and then you get the oil from them.
So by reason of being under their covering, the Bible says you will finish the house. Not only will you finish it, it will be such that it will bring glory to God by the time God has finished what he's doing through Zerubbabel in Jesus' name. That's the will of God. So what God is saying here, brethren, is that there is a bountiful supply of oil. You can feel it, and that's what is giving us the victory in the airwaves. Amen. That's what's giving us victory. It's the bount because they are always before the Lord, day and night. And it's a type. You know, if people fulfill it, praise God, they fulfill it. Amen. And thank God for our parents. It's a type. It's two olive candlesticks. Okay, or two olive trees. It's talking about a team ministry. Two for witness. So it's a team ministry that is replicating after its kind. All right? That's the will of God. It's reproducing itself after its kind. It's taking God a long while to actually prepare them, you know. And the Bible says, I have called him alone and I have blessed and increased him. It's taking time, but now that they are in place, there is no reason why your temple should not be finished, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And that's the song the ministers were singing just before we came up. Okay, that no breed on us, you know, Holy Spirit. It's talking about the flow of oil, the flow of the power of God, the light of God under the covering of spiritual father, so we can finish the house. So God is saying that this is not a time where your light should be under a bushel. This is the time for your light to be shining and giving light to the whole house. We should see your Christianity. We should see that you are a child of God. It should be flowing out from your soul into your body, and we can see the effect and the impact. Amen. And thank God for Good Morning Jesus prayers. Amen. How many people are seeing God move and seeing God change our nature, change circumstances, you know, give us the lives of our loved ones back. Amen. No, intervene in our circumstances. Amen. No, doing miracles, as it were, silently, but it's there inside. Okay. So that's the will of God. And so this is the time God has sent these two olive candlesticks, these two olive trees, as it were, you know, to prepare the bride for the bridegroom. And so we must be wise virgins. Amen. It's a time for us to be wise virgins. It's not a time not to have oil in your vessel. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Is a time to take full advantage. It's a time to be diligent, because there's so much at stake. Amen. All right. Give me verse 3. All right. We know the story that there were 10 virgins. Okay, kingdom of God likened to 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And says they that were foolish took their oil, their lamps, and took no oil with them. What is that talking about? Look at the next verse. Okay? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Next verse. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. All. Next verse. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now it's at that time, and that's what God is telling us not to do. Next verse. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Next verse. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now that oil was always available. If it was not always available, how did the wise get the oil? So this is the type of being under covering of the olive trees, but not obeying or practicing their instructions. And because you're not practicing their instructions, you're not pumping the oil from the spirit through the soul into the body. So there is now oil, not just in the lamp, but also in the vessel. That's what's happening there. You know, but we see the mercy of God. You know, and the foolish said, give us of the next verse, verse 9. But the wise man said, not so. Let's have not enough for you and for us. So go ye rather to them. So there are some that sell. Sell there just means that you pay the price. You have to pay the price to get it by following and practicing the instructions. So you pay the price. They don't sell it. It's free. Freely have they given, have they received. Freely do they give. But at the same time, it's not cheap. There's a price you pay, and it's that labor that the foolish virgins did not want to do, that they ultimately now have to go back to go and do within a short space of time. But God is merciful. Verse 10, where it says that, you know, that that while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. So they could have gone to buy quickly and come back. We don't know. We trust God. God is merciful. Amen. But you don't want to be here. Amen. But no, we don't want to. That's not the place to be. All right. So how then? How then do we ensure that there is light on our candlestick? The first thing is reverence for mature spiritual fathers. There are many instructors in the kingdom, but there are few fathers. And it is our responsibility to know fathers. God expects us to know, because it's in the word of God. The Bible says, by their fruit, the fruit of good treasure, which indicates a humble heart. You know, the revelation is deep, you know, hidden manner, coming from the holiest of all, because of the degree of the humility. That is how you do. That fruit is born key. That's the first key thing. Then the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, you know, long-suffering, gentleness, you know, no consistency in doing the same thing over and over. These are the, so once you recognize and you see, these are the people that are, this person fits the criteria, you submit. You reverence. Bible says you esteem them very highly in love. Look at Isaiah 51, verse 1 and 2. And that's that prototype we're talking about. So hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn. So this thing, you know, is talking about a pattern. That's where you came from. And you must reproduce after that kind. That's what he said. And the whole of the pit whence ye are digged. Next verse. Look specifically now unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. So he's talking about a team ministry. A team ministry. It's not, you can't have one person and another person not be at the same level. They may not be at the exact same level, but they're both mature spiritually. And they operate as a team, complementing one another to fulfill the purpose and the will of God. It's very important. And that's the same thing that God wants to replicate in you and your spouse. And your future spouse, if you're not married. Amen. Amen. It's a pattern. It's a pattern of, yes, Noah and his family. Thank you very much, sir. Noah and his family. It's a pattern of strong Christian homes. That's the pattern. No, because the devil, you know, like we were saying in the morning, you know, you can bomb from the air, but if you don't, you can do artillery, but if you don't go hand to hand and fight and get out the enemy, that battle is an unending battle that will never end. Because of it will never end. Guerrilla warfare, you know, until you get on the ground and put troops on the ground, it's not going to be over. So it's same. So it's Satan, if you have one strong pastor and then there are homes in the church that are weak, there is strife, there is division, how will the church be strong? A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So the pattern is to replicate this over time. That's the will of God, okay? So it's a prototype. And what they do, basically, is that they minister nourishment. Colossians 2:19. They minister nourishment. That's the oil. You know, that's the life. You know, that's the light. We're using the same different descriptions, but it's the same thing. God is ministering virtue into you, and then from you outward, you know, into those around you. So the virtue doesn't stay with you. You keep allowing it to go out. You go out. That's why the Bible says that, you know, by the grace of God, I mean, you just imagine that it so happens that this is our season of Rehoboth. where we're breaking forth on the right and we're breaking forth on the left because of that power and that light that is coming out. It's the same thing. It's coming out. It's not staying, not just being dormant, not having it. No, it's coming out. He wants to dominate. He wants to occupy. That's the will of God. Amen? Okay. All right. The next, so the first thing is submission. Because that submission connects us. Colossians 2:19, talking about holding the head. Giving an example, holding the head. All right, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increased with the increase of God. So we're speaking about spiritual fathers. I thank God our father and our mother here qualify by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. You can see it. You can see, I mean, it's clear in the scripture. Because, I mean, that's scripture is independent of anybody. Anybody can fulfill it. And thank God they fulfill. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. We thank God for His mercy and grace upon their lives. All right. So that nourishment, that oil is amazing. So what are you doing with the oil? What are you doing with the oil? The frequency of your praying must increase. The fervency of your praying must increase. Don't pray lazily. Pray, sleep. Stand up. Pray. Pump. Pump the oil. Pump the life. It's serious business. Your destiny depends on it. And God's glory, God is waiting on us. Like you need to do this quickly. You need to do this quickly. So we need to do it conscientiously, not lazily. We need to do it with all our hearts. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Next thing is obedience to their instruction. Reverence connects, obedience flows. The reverence connects. You connect to the head. With obedience now, it begins to flow. So it begins to, thank you, sir. You begin to download the power. It downloads. So if you're not obeying, and of course, you know, God knows what you can handle. There are several instructions God has given us. You know, we have to keep and maintain. You know, we have to cultivate and maintain a David's heart. No, that's one important instruction. Pray frequently and fervently. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray in the tongues with travail at least once a week. That's the minimum. You should be doing Good Morning Jesus every day. By the grace of God. Do you understand? But the pastor gave us the minimum at the very beginning of the year. He keeps reminding us every day that this is what we're supposed to be. You're supposed to obey the instruction. And as we obey the instruction, you know, then we begin to strip ourselves free from all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Like it says in James chapter 1. Look at James chapter 1, verse 21. Quickly. Wherefore, lay apart. You have to separate it. You know, but you use the stronger. You use the power in the life, the power, the active life, to drive it out. You flush it out. No, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. So there's something washing, and there is the word. By the washing of the water, by the word. Both the word and prayer is working together through the blood. No, so that I can receive the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save your soul. Now, when you've done that, you pull down strongholds, you cast down imagination, you pull the power of God there. Look at verse 22. The consequences. Says, but be ye doers. You can only do after you've done that preparation. Amen. And not hearers only, deceiving your own self. The Bible talks about Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. There is a way, there's a know-how for obedience. And it has to be done. And you can see it right there. Thank you. You know, and he was heard in that he feared. Meaning that, you know, we're going to get there. You know, talking about the heart. But this is the key of what he's saying. He's saying that there's a process. You need to obey instruction. Okay? God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. And you're very quiet, oh brethren. Okay. God will have mercy on us. Number three, as we round up. Desire a broken and contrite spirit. By practicing meekness and lowliness of heart. Brethren, you know, I won't lie to you. This one is a project. It's the big one. This is the cue.
You desire brokenness of heart. Psalm 34.
Mommy started praying this some days ago. You know, Psalm 34, verse 18. Verse 18. And it just, you know, just struck.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It means that if your heart is not broken, God is not near you.
I'm not turning anything. It's not revelation. It's black and white.
It means that God is nigh those who have a broken. So it is in our own interest to make your heart broken.
Brother, the way you are looking at me, as if I'm talking Greek. Lord have mercy. No. The Bible says that when we fall upon the word, when you fall upon the word, you will break.
Some obedience, some acts of obedience, you will be crying on the inside. But you are breaking that heart, and you are attracting God to yourself. And that God you are attracting will not allow you to make a mistake. He will minister all you need. Amen. So, but it's something you have to actively desire. It's by practicing meekness and lowliness of heart. The Bible, you know, I try to, you know, talk to God and no. What is a broken heart? A broken heart is a heart that has absolutely no confidence in itself.
Proverbs 28:26. Proverbs 28:26. You need to be quick. He that trusted in his own heart is a fool.
They have no confidence in themselves. God has broken it and take it away.
God will give us a broken heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, chapter 5, verse 6, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own.
It says, none of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil.
He's saying that the idea that you have, that you think is God, are you sure is God? That's what he's saying. He's saying
there are many things that look like God, and they are not God.
Amen.
So you have to follow Abraham and Sarah. You follow by practicing meekness. Make it a priority.
No, the other aspect of the broken heart is that he does not seek the honor of himself. He doesn't seek self-honor. He seeks the honor of God. He seeks the honor of God only. All right, and that's very important. Okay, and then finally, give your tithes and offerings promptly, completely, and consistently. This opens the heavens over us, amen, and allows that the life of God to flow down, so that the fruit of our ground, which is divine love, will not be destroyed. It's very important. So that our armor is on, so that we can stand our ground. No, that Nigeria thing, that beautiful graphic that we are supposed to pass around to everyone. Make sure you do it in Jesus' name. All right, that image. He says, take a stand. You can't stand if you haven't done all to stand. You do all to stand by putting on the whole armor of God, you know, and then making sure you pay your time so that the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God, is there, rock solid. So that then we can stand our ground. Otherwise, you can be moved. Bible says, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us hold fast grace. So you need grace to stand, having done all to stand. Amen. So that's the will of God for us. And in closing, we must not be like. And Pastor Dewey, touched on it, you know, during the Bible study this morning when he was talking about Balaam. Balaam. Balaam is somebody that we should not be like, just as we round up. You know, it's not somebody we should not be like at all. And you can learn from Balaam's mistake, you know. And just let's look at Numbers 22. Let's read it from verse 8 to 13. Numbers 22, verse 8 to 13. We see this thing playing out very carefully, in very, very, very vivid. God recorded it for posterity so we can learn from it. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. First of all, move it forward, maybe like verse 5, I think. Verse 5.
Yes. Okay. Right. Yes. So he sent, we know the story. Balak, the king of Zippor, the king of Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, sent elders to go and talk to Balaam that he should curse the children of Israel, whom God has already blessed. And Balaam knows that they are blessed. So, but they came, they didn't come empty handed. They brought rewards of divination. They brought reward. And they came with certain words. That's what I want to bring out. No, verse 6. Give me verse 6. So he told him the problem, and he now began to flatter him. He said, "Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them." Who is we? I'm just thinking, like Balaam, who are you talking about? We? When you say we, you know, know that we may smite them, that I may drive them out from land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed. He whom thou curses is cursed. Next verse. As flattery. And they came and they had reward. They're telling you that the person you bless is blessed. Is it you that is doing it or God? It's very important. Balaam just swallowed it. He received the honor. Don't receive honor that is not your own. He received honor, and that already set him up. So he made the wrong mistake. He made the next. Look at the next move he made. Verse 8. Okay. He said, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again." I didn't hear anything about, is it me that is cursing? Is the God that is cursing? Whoever God blesses is blessed. Whoever God curses is blessed. Nothing. He didn't give the honor to God. He sat on it. Okay. "And I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam." Next verse. Quickly. "And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee?" What's going on here? No, God didn't see. God wanted to hear what was in his heart. Next verse. "And Balaam said," he was explaining the story. "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent to me, saying," next verse. Quickly. Quickly. "And behold," there's a people. Story. Next verse. Verse 12. "And God said unto Balaam," let's read this together, just to be clear. Let's read together. "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are what?" Yes. Verse 13. "And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the prince of Balaam, get ye into your land, though, for God did not give, the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you." What's the implication of this? In my heart, I want to go, but God didn't allow me to go. You can see that he's no longer under, his eye is not single. Is he single? There's already a disconnect. He's already removed. He and God are not on the same page. It's quite clear. Okay? Alright. Look at jump to verse 17 quickly. Verse 17. "For I will promote thee unto great honor." So he came back again with more. And brethren, you know, there's some things you shouldn't put yourself in the place where you're hearing them over and over again. Because it wears down your resistance. What you are not going to eat, the Yoruba say, why are you smelling it? I'm fasting. That plantain is really nice. Abedidi ninka. What's going to happen? You are going to break your fast. Yeah. Already you have been broken in your heart. Even if you are not eating the food. So look at. So it came again. And so that's what Satan does. He comes again. Say, "I will do you whatever you say unto me. Come. If you can do whatever I say, then you curse them yourself." It's just very simple. But you are asking me to do it for you. Verse 17. Say, "Curse me." So verse 19. Says, "You give me," this is just mere words, though. "If you give me a house full of gold or silver, I will not collect." As if it doesn't have a price. You know, there is a leadership in the church that is like this. They are like this. They receive reward of divination. The Bible says in 2 Peter, he's describing him, 2 Peter chapter 2. He said, "Who loved the wages of unrighteousness?" This woman didn't love God. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And you know what it did? It made him walk in darkness. Verse 22. So begin to round up as we begin to close. Verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him, and he was riding upon his ass, and two servants were with him. Next verse. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. The ass saw the angel of the Lord, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam did not see the angel. He smote the ass to turn her into the way. On three times he smote the ass. He was so blinded by his what I'm going to gain, self-recognition, self-gratification and reputation. He blinded him. He was supposed to be God's man of the hour, but he was on another page. Brethren, we should not be like this. How should we be? Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. Daniel 12 3. Daniel 12 3. We've left this place. Thank you. And they that be wise shall shine as the what? Brightness of the firmament. The key part of wisdom is humility. And they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever. This is an eternal blessing that is waiting for whoever will inherit it. To be wise, that is to walk in the light of God and allow it, use it to impact the people and the community around us. Let us pray. Talk to God in our hearts. Light on your candlestick. Light on your candlestick. Those attitudes are key. Take heed to myself as I speak to you. No confidence in yourself. It's by the mercy of God. That's why I said to Zerubbabel, it's not by might, not by power, it's by the Spirit. Plug yourself under covering. Submit, obey. And as you obey, the power will flow. And you will finish what you have begun to build. God will finish the Zion Church is building. And He will appear in His glory in our land. Peradventure, you find out that your will has not been aligned to God's, it's not single. It's time to repent and ask God for mercy. And make up our minds. And we're going to be children of light. Take heed, diligent, walking in the Spirit, watching and praying, keeping the law of the Spirit of life with diligence and a humble and honest heart. Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of a darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on us, Lord Jesus, shine on us. Your mercy, send forth. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that there ought to be light in my candlestick, and the light that is in me ought not to be darkness, but ought to shine like the bright shining of a candle doth give light. Light in my spirit. Light in my soul, light in my body, by your power and by your love. And so, Heavenly Father, I submit myself to my Father's setting authority over me. I choose to obey their instructions consistently. I exercise myself in the practice of divine love. So I cultivate a broken heart. So your mercy and your grace will uphold me and enable me to finish this temple that we are building, so you will manifest your glory and cause all flesh to see the glory of God demonstrated in our land. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bring the Spirit. Zato Shengadavari. In Jesus' name.
We're going to pray in a minute. Just as we're standing here, I believe the Lord just saying to me that all the things you have heard are tonight very, very true. Everything is very, very much the word of the will of God. But then I said, Lord, I was looking back at my own experience. I said, there were two things, and I want to share them with us. The pastor told us way back then, he says, God doesn't require immediate acquiescence and obedience. But it does, it does require a bit. It doesn't require immediate perfection. But what it requires is immediate practice. Start practicing. The one that you know to do, do it as best you can. The one you don't know to do, you will know to do it eventually. The essence is to put your mind and your heart and say, Lord, I desire to do it. And I'm going to stay with it until I get it. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God will uphold you. It's the heart that's the most important thing. That contrite heart. Mommy used to tell us many years, I never understood it then, but now it's so clear to me that that contrite and humble heart is the key to everything. Once you're willing to keep that heart humble, once you're willing to keep it contrite, every other thing will be added. You will follow. That is, the just man falls seven times, but the Lord is able to uphold him with his hand. So yes, you will fall, you will make mistakes, but thank God, and this is one thing I benefit from tremendously. I can say that very easily as the firstborn of the house, really, in one sense, you know. I've tremendously enjoyed that comfort. Yes, they will rebuke. Yes, they will chasten. But always they'll bring you back. They'll come and hug you close. And they never stop doing that. Particularly mommy. I mean, wow. And that's a mother indeed. But the truth of it, they're both the same. So rest in the comfort that they want you to succeed. God wants you to succeed. And once you have that heart that you're willing to learn, that no matter what, this Bible says that, you know, that they will rebuke you, they will give you instructions, and they will tell you something, but at the same time, they will pull you close again. And God is like that. He will rebuke you and chase you, but not, you know, forsake you. And gradually, one thing at a time, all these little things begin to fall off, all these weights and sins and all these things in the mind, the heart, attitudes, little by little, by. You won't get there overnight, but you're going to get there. And the glory is coming to drive out all this nonsense in our minds with our emotions, and you see the glory. You will manifest the glory. I can tell you, you will manifest that glory. So be encouraged, be strengthened. Amen. It's a new day, and God is going to make you fruitful in His life. In the name of Jesus. Undercover. Undercover. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart, you know, connected to the oversight, and say, though He slay me, I will still trust Him. You're going to make it. Tell me you're going to make it. You will manifest the glory. You may be surprised though. Tell your neighbor, you may be surprised though. Knowing the kind of person you are. Eh? But you're going to manifest that glory. God will see to it that you manifest His glory in this season. Amen. Let's share this. And so, Father, we thank You so very much for Your great mercy. The word of the Lord that has come today. Thank You so much for Your presence with us here. Thank You for the covering and anointing of our fathers. We come to say thank You with all of our hearts. And we declare the Lord under the covering of our fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. We declare the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make His face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes His head and not tail, above only and not beneath. The Lord causes us to prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. To be at least 10 times better than our peers, by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. So we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live and not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord will satisfy us with long life and show us the fullness of His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, under the covering of our fathers, anoints us with the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell them and say, you have light on your candlestick. And that light will shine bright, and you will manifest the glory. In Jesus' name. God bless you.